Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Delighted to be with you. Looking forward to what God has in store for us in this brand new year. As we face the new year, I pray that you will be studying your Bible, reading the Scripture, allowing God to speak to you through the Word of God as to what He'd have us to do during the course of this new year that is stretched out before us. As we face the issues, let me remind us again that we face them based on the authority of Scripture. There are a lot of folks today that are in trouble because it's simply they make decisions based on the book of opinion or out of the what I have called so often cotton candy theology or kitchen theology. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to make the decision as we face an issue, and we need to respond to issues based on the authority of Scriptures. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus said in John 17, 17, "Thy word is truth." So when we look at issues, we do so daily based on the authority of Scripture. I say to everybody, we need to have a biblical worldview. A biblical worldview simply boiled down says that we make decisions, we give answers based on what the Scripture says and not some philosophy or ideological dogma out of a denominational distinctive, including its rites, rituals, and rules and regulations. We need to go back to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that the greatest danger looming before America in this new year is that of censorship of God and Christians. If you want to put it in a different light, it's political correctness versus the First Amendment. Ladies and gentlemen, we're finding Christians and the conservative voice being inundated, literally inundated, with the attempt to either foreclose or water down the First Amendment in our Constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just read that to you. It is the First Amendment because it's one of the most important amendments. Were it not for the First Amendment, the other amendments would have no value. We've got 27 amendments. The first 10 make up what is called the Bill of Rights. First Amendment says, "Congress shall make no laws respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances." Now, that first portion, ladies and gentlemen, "Congress shall make no laws respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech." Ladies and gentlemen, that's perhaps the bedrock of America today. Go to any other nation you want to, and I challenge you around the globe, look at it, analyze it, see if you have that kind of freedom and protection as we have in America. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps that is the most important issue facing America, and that's our Bill of Rights. This is the first 10 amendments in our Constitution, and the First Amendment is first, ladies and gentlemen, because I believe without it, none of the others would have any value at all. And today we are finding places like Facebook and Twitter and Google and other social media outlets, as well as the federal government itself and many of the state and local governments, trying to foreclose our First Amendment rights. And we're seeing that increasing. Ladies and gentlemen, you can go back to the past 10, 12 years and you find it exponentially increasing year after year after year. It seems that if on any of the social media you post something that is liberal, immoral, or anti-God, it's okay. But if you post something that speaks of the truth, speaking the truth against or about the LGBTQ movement, if you post something that speaks the truth about the Islamic invasion globally and in the Western Hemisphere, and in most particularly in the United States of America, or if you say anything about your Second Amendment rights, or the right to keep and bear arms, which is the Second Amendment, or you speak the truth about the progressives and the socialists and their push in America to destroy our nation via the Socialist Democratic Party, then you stand a good chance of your First Amendment rights being abridged or foreclosed. Now, I don't know about you and whether or not it bothers you. It frightens my socks off, ladies and gentlemen, to see where our nation is headed. And further, it's distressing to me when I realize that when the new Congress, the 116th Congress, takes their seat, they've already made mention of the fact that they've many things that they're going to be filing suit and trying to stop our president and the conservative agenda and the Christian agenda from going forward in America. And so don't you dare think, ladies and gentlemen, that somehow, some way, that is that our First Amendment rights, our religious liberties, are going to be more protected in the future than they are right now. Franklin Graham can answer that question. Franklin Graham has been very outspoken about some of the facts, and he's been very outspoken on his Facebook as he stands against the enemies of the Word of God. And may I remind us, his Facebook account was recently, what do you say, they put him in Facebook jail for 24 hours? I think that's what some call it. It was banned, it was stopped, it was shut down. The Christian voice of the conservatives or the Christians are generally foreclosed on by things like Facebook and Google and others. Let me just give you a little brief on this article. Franklin Graham, here's his homepage and a statement. Well, now we know Facebook has a secret ruling for policing speech. I was banned from posting on Facebook last week for 24 hours. Why, he says? Because our post from back in, listen, a post that he had put out in 2016 about North Carolina's House Bill 2, that is the bathroom bill, where North Carolina had passed a bill that kept the sodomites and the pedophiles and the those that are confused about their sexuality from going into the ladies' restrooms, dressing rooms, shower rooms, and locker rooms in the state of North Carolina. Facebook said the post went against their community standards of hate speech. Hear that? Because Franklin Graham, in a 2016 post on Facebook, took a stand for the new law in North Carolina and stand for the governor and what he was doing, Governor McCrory, and stood for truth and righteousness. Facebook said that it was against their community standards of hate speech. Here further in his article, he says, Facebook is trying to define truth. There was a character in a movie a few years back, he said, the truth is what I say it is. That's what Facebook is trying to do, Franklin Graham says. They're making the rules and changing the rules. Truth is truth, Franklin Graham says. God made the rules and his word is truth. Actually, Facebook is censoring, this is from Franklin Graham, he says, actually, Facebook is censoring free speech. The free exchange of ideas is part of the country's DNA. And then he goes further and gives full information on his second page in his Facebook post on the 28th of December about what was taking place. But ladies and gentlemen, I reckon we should rejoice. I don't know whether you think that is correct or not, but I don't rejoice over it. But there's an article today that says, in fact, it was dated the 29th of December, Facebook apologizes for banning evangelist Franklin Graham for 24 hours. Dateline Charlotte, North Carolina, the Charlotte Observer. Facebook is apologizing to evangelist Franklin Graham for banning him from posting on the site for 24 hours last week, a Facebook spokesman told the Chronicle, the Charlotte Observer, on Saturday. Further in the article, it says, in his post, Graham said, the social media giant is making the rules and changing the rules, end quote. Truth is truth, he says. God made the rules, and his word is truth. Actually, Facebook is censoring free speech. But yet, and I happen to have the privilege of seeing the Fox News interview Franklin Graham on that, and he says he accepts their apology. But it doesn't change the fact that they are trying to rule free speech. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says First Amendment and what it means for free speech. And it goes on to introduce the article by saying the Internet, as we know it, was nearly 30 years old. Now it's about 31 years old, I believe, at the close of this year. And it goes on to talk about the First Amendment and the guarantee of free speech. Here's the essence of what I want to share from this brief article. Much of what happened on the Internet falls more specifically under the broad concept of free speech. However, the definition of speech has expanded in the past 200 years to now include far more than just written or spoken words. Actions themselves can constitute free speech. This broad definition makes interpretation of freedoms and the subsequent limitations all the more vague, as some actions are currently as certainly harmful to others in ways that it infringes on their rights. Now, according to USCourt.gov, the First Amendment does not cover. This is what the First Amendment does not cover, according to USCourts.gov online research. Words or actions meant to incite violence or that influence others to commit acts of violence, libel or slander, child pornography, the creation or distribution of obscene materials, the burning of draft cards and or anti-war protest, students who advocate illegal drug use at a student-sponsored event. And this article says, of course, there are more, to be sure, but note that the limitations on free speech are almost always specific to a particular case that doesn't directly or exclusively involve the Internet. For the web, inciting violence and the distribution of obscene material easily apply, although these two instances are still very vague. And it goes on to talk about the vagueness of some of the statements there. But the whole point is, ladies and gentlemen, we're in a state of chaos in America today where literally we're finding the censorship of God and, of course, of churches and of Christians. It's a censorship. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, this censorship is against God and the church. It is political correctness going awry. And today, ladies and gentlemen, political correctness via the courts and government are attempting to truncate or cancel our First Amendment rights, which essentially is our religious liberty. It is essentially the religious liberty. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't believe that is the case, all you got to do is do some research on Christian florists and Christian cake bakers and Christian marriage counselors and Christian organizations and Christian businesses where the sodomites have come in and tried to demand that they be served, notwithstanding the fact that in a sodomite bakery just a few months back, people had gone in to try to get them to bake a cake with something they wanted on it. They refused to do so. That doesn't even get to the fake news media to say anything about it. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're in trouble in America when we see our constitutional Bill of Rights, the liberties that we have, especially the First Amendment, the freedom of religion, the freedom of speech, when we see that truncated. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that basically touches on it. It's a pretty lengthy article, and I just give a portion. It's dated December the 14th, 2018. It says, fair mess, that's F-A-I-R, fair mess for all. Comprehensive isn't always a bad idea. Compromise isn't always a bad idea. Ask any married couple. But when it comes to the black and white of the scripture, nothing is more dangerous than a group of Christians willing to negotiate their own truth. Their motivations may not be bad, but the consequences almost always are. In a culture like ours, where a single cake can ruin a business, no one can blame Christians for being worried. With every headline, the war over religious liberty is hitting closer and closer to home every day. It's landed on the doorsteps of floor shops, adoption agencies, French classes, pro sports, even pizza joints. And the threat is always the same. Affirm our position or we will punish you. While so many Christians stand their ground, others are willing to do anything to spare themselves the fight, even if it means surrendering their core convictions to do it. And ladies and gentlemen, that's my position. I believe as Christians, we need to stand up, speak up, we need to be heard, we need to be seen, come out of the closet, stop being frightened and afraid, and be salt and light that God's called us to be in the society in which we're living in, and say no to political correctness, and say you're not going to censor my freedom of speech and my religious liberties. I am I believe that this year is going to be a watershed for America as to the direction we're going in, and it's going to start with our First Amendment rights. In fact, our full Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments, are going to be under assault by the socialists going into the 116th Congress. I believe we have a call on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, it seems interesting there's kind of this dichotomy. Individuals go out and protest in the street. They'll claim their First Amendment rights to free speech and try to use that shroud of constitutionalism to say that it's okay to threaten or to, it's kind of this the anti-fascist group out there. They call themselves Antifa. They're out there using free speech and claim to be anti-fascist. Well, fascists used force, threats of violence in order to achieve their will. Well, Antifa is using, threats of violence to try to obtain their will. And these folks that have come into the bakeries, into the flower shops and tried to force their will, what do? They sue and they attempt to shut down, they attempt to destroy. And they claim it's, protecting their rights. However, they're demolishing the free speech of others. They're demolishing the freedom of religion of others, and they know it. Their intention is not to be tolerated in a sinful lifestyle. Their position is they must dominate their perceived opponent.
Absolutely. In fact, they not only want to dominate, but they're wanting the Christians and the conservatives to embrace their lifestyle, to embrace their position, to embrace their immoral, unethical lifestyle. And that is the thing that I am so concerned about for the Christian community. I don't think any Christian should in any way compromise on what the Word of God says. If God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. And well, not to compromise.
Interesting thing in recent days with Facebook and Apple and other folks that they many times they will purport to be unbiased platforms. Basically, you can place your on Facebook. They'll claim to be an unbiased platform. You just put your stuff out there, and it's non-censored. It's open forum. So this idea of open communication, open dialogue would be fostered on their platforms. They've literally secured, Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act actually gives them immunity. It gives them special protections. If you're a newspaper and somebody, places in your newspaper something that is libelous, and you let it go through, or your editors let it go through, you can be held liable. Facebook is given a protection. They're told, hey, you're not editing content. You're just a platform for other people to place their ideas, to place their speech, to place their so we're going to give you this special protection. You can't be sued for what your consumers place on your platform. But then they actually do what they say they can't do. They're censoring content, and they're censoring it to a liberal bent. They're censoring it toward a liberal ideology. And it violates the notion that they are a raw, unbiased platform. They are now publishers, in effect. To me, if they're going to censor this content, they need to be then open to the potential defamation, libel, slander type suits that other entities would be open to. And I'm not for that. I actually think that we do well just to say, Facebook, if you're going to continue to operate this, operate your platform and have this protection, you truly have to be an open platform where any idea can hit literally that opens it up to things that I'm offended by, that you might be offended by. But I'm okay with being offended if it's an open platform and I know when I go to that platform, I'm going to see things I don't like. Well, the left needs to realize they're going to see things they don't like, but this is open dialogue. This is what the freedom of America brings. Do we want to be like, Nazi Germany? I hate it when people bring the first thing they bring in is Nazi Germany, because everything's not Nazi Germany. But do we want that sort of totalitarian control? No. We ought to be able to have open dialogue, and sometimes you're going to get offended, sometimes I'm going to get offended, but each one of us then can air what our opinion is and give the reasonable, rational, factual basis for our opinion if we have it. or don't. And it seems like many times on the left, they don't have a reasonable, rational, fact-based argument, so they would like to suppress those who do have that reasonable, factual argument.
Well, they don't. In fact, it was fascinating in reading the apology from Facebook that was given to Frank and Graham. They went on to say that they have 15,000 people on staff, that their sole purpose and their sole responsibility is simply to filter everything that goes on Facebook and make a determination if it is hate speech or if it is something that is not within the realm of community acceptance. And it's strange that it's always those out of those 15,000 that review that. It's strange that only those that are conservatives or Christians or ethical-minded people, it's strange that those are the only ones that get censored. But it is not just Facebook. It's not just Twitter and Google and the other social media. It's coming from government. It's coming from local city and state governments and national governments. Here's an article, Greg, that says, you can help protect religious freedom and vulnerable women. Downtown Hope Center in Anchorage, Alaska, has a heart for helping abused, battered women. Fueled by a vision to share the love of God with the homeless in Anchorage. But the whole thing is, and it's a major article about five pages, it says, but incredibly, the city of Anchorage is trying to take the safe place away to further the political agenda of the city. And literally what they have done, they have put the battered women's shelter on notice that they must allow men and homosexuals, et cetera, to also bed down in the facilities with the women that are already battered women there because of being battered or some other thing that's happened to them. And now Anchorage, Alaska is saying that you've got to allow any sex to come in and be able to sleep side by side. And it shows the sketch of the bedding arrangement, and the women, the battered women, can sleep about 3 to 5 foot apart. And this article says here, in their rush to push religious beliefs out of the public square, Anchorage officials are pushing these women out into the cold. Across America, this article says, we're seeing legal challenges that could shut the doors of faith-based ministries and nonprofits, including adoption agencies, pro-life pregnancy centers, and shelters for people. And it's literally, I believe, an encroachment on the First Amendment right, the religious liberties, because this organization that I'm speaking of now in Anchorage, Alaska, is a 501c4. It is a nonprofit. It is a religious organization there to help people. And now the government is saying that you can't do it that way. We're going to force immoral, ungodly, unholy rules and regulations that if you stay in business, you've got to be obliged to keep them and allow anyone to come in and sleep together. I find it onerous and sad that we're literally through the courts, through social media, through the government, and through the rules and the regulations being promulgated through the progressive liberals in the House and the Senate and on the local state levels, we're finding more and more of the censorship of God and the censorship of Christians and conservatives in particular.
It's interesting to me that so much of this is taking place within the courts. You know, we're being undermined, our nation is being undermined with immoral things, many times based on judicial mandate, not based on legislative act. I mean, the legislative act in North Carolina that Facebook or one of their employees was so upset about was the bathroom bill, and just said, hey, you know, men go to men's rooms, women go to women's rooms. You know, if you're born a man, go to a man. And it was to protect, you know, women and children. That was the purpose of the legislation, that the people in North Carolina, you know, elected people, and that as their representatives, they chose to look out for the best interest, particularly of women and children. And then some, you know, judicial acts creep in, and the leftist media types move in, and they try to destroy that. If you look at the Boy Scouts of America, that historically was a fantastic organization, and they've been on a downward trend for a decade or more. And of course, the lawsuits that came, and we're going to force you to accept homosexuals, transsexuals within your rank. Now we're going to force you to accept this and force you to accept that. And of course, they had, you know, 40 or 50 years there that they hid sexual misconduct. And, you know, I had a conversation recently with an individual, and it got to the core of that that problem. Now, keep in mind, the misconduct was many times an aggressive pedophile. But before that person was an aggressive pedophile, they were a homosexual. Most of it was male-on-male aggression, older against younger. And the exact cause, the exact, you know, putting homosexuals into the organization that caused the problem for 40 or 50 years that they hid and covered up and hid and covered up, that same thing that they were compelled to accept. You know, so you've got a problem. You've got a problem. Now we're going to compel you to accept the reason you have the problem to start with. And by the way, we're going to hold you liable for the problem. And you go, This is perverse. It's twisted. You know, can organizations not you know, choose on their own based on their freedom of speech, based on their freedom of moral guidance, their freedom of religion? Why cannot they choose to participate with whom they wish to participate create such hysteria?
That is the whole essence of what I'm saying today in relationship to political correctness versus our First Amendment. It is the censorship of God and of Christians. Greg, if you'd continue to hold to join in a dialogue, we have another caller on the line. Go ahead and give the question or comment, please.
It is sad to see how many Christian leaders, they are completely silent. They don't attack these issues the same way you guys are doing it. They are timid and they silence. And many leaders, they tell their members that they're not political activists. Oh, well, if we don't talk about political issues, the devil is doing it, and the devil is putting people in power, and these people in power, which are wicked, they are imposing all those immoral and godly things in the population, including Christian and not Christian. So for the light of me, I don't get it. Why a Christian leader doesn't inform the members or destroying this nation?
Thank you for your question. One of the things that I could say very succinctly is most pastors, and I know there are some that will get a little bristled up with this statement, most pastors don't have a spiritual, Christian, theological, doctrinal, biblical spine to stand and tell the truth. They're afraid of numbers, nickels, and noses. They might lose a few members. They might have a few liberal, progressive, socialist Democrats in their church, and they're afraid that somehow, some way, they might be pushed out of a job. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you're in the pulpit preaching and teaching the Word of God and you're there because it's a job or it's a paycheck, you need to find something to go fishing or go hunting or doing something else. I believe it's time God would have his people to stand.
Amen. It's better for me to see somebody like Daniel or Joseph in the government than a wicked guy in government. That's my comment. Thank you very much for your information, and thank you for helping us being informed. Thank you.
Thank you, and God bless you for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the fact that we're watching our First Amendment, which is religious liberties, eroding, and we have Greg still on the line. Greg, we've got about 30 seconds to go in our final statements. I'll let you close out for us. Tell us, tell our listeners what they need to hear, what we need to understand about this censorship of God and of Christians, and what we need to do in response.
Well, it's simple for the believer. You know, we have to realize that this nation was founded not by religionists but by Christians. Most of our founding fathers had a good knowledge of the scripture when they, in 1789, ratified the First Amendment and included those words, "Congress shall make no law with respect to an establishment of a religion, nor prohibit the free exercise thereof." They did that intentionally. They did not want government to step into religious institutions and tell them how they could operate. And they did not want to exclude Christians from governance. The free exercise of religion is what we're talking about, and today that notion has been completely lost, and believers should not ever take a back seat to anyone else. Now, it's fine for us to disagree, but it is not fine for one to shut down the debate in favor of their liberal leftist ideology.
Yes, thank you so much for that. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air, even tomorrow, as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.